T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I could totally see you on a scooter.
I do want to try it.
Lime green is your color.
No, I have no color. I have no color, but I am intrigued, vaguely terrified.
You
when
should
I see
be.
Them weaving down the street,
yep. Yep.
People of all ages, and everybody seems to have a blast on these things.
They look fun. They do. They look a little dangerous because I don't see people riding with helmets because I don't believe that that's required. They're going to be back on the streets of Minneapolis. St. Paul does not have these scooters. They're just coming back here. But will you use them? And does it change the way you commute? I was considering, you know, getting dropped off or taking a bus on the outskirts because the parking is way cheaper if you go to the outskirts of the city than
sure.
the lot that we park
sure.
at.
Sure.
And then trying to find one and scoot in. I mean, you could always take the Skyways and get some exercise, but just to be able to use the scooters, I think that would be super fun. Except here's the problem. You don't know that one is always going to be available to you. You can geolocate them with the apps. You can find out where they are. But it's
can you
still...
reserve one?
I don't believe you can.
I don't think it's first come, first serve.
Correct. And while the city will probably be littered with them, which is, I'm sure, something that we're going to hear about.
But they're limited. The city, it's limited to 800
mm-hmm.
in the city,
mm-hmm.
the downtown area and surrounding neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
and capped at 2,000 for the entire Minneapolis metro area.
That's right. And there are rules. No matter what you think, there are rules of these scooters. The rules are supposed to be that they follow, like, bike lane rules. They're not allowed to ride on the sidewalks.
Okay.
They must be parked upright and out of the pedestrian walkway. Because Dan Cook is pretty annoyed about this already, and they're not out. Because Dan rides the bus, and he doesn't want any of those damn scooters getting in his way. Is that what you said, Dan?
I didn't say that at all. That's completely fake news.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan.
I will say that, you know, it is mildly annoying when they're tipped over in the middle of the sidewalk.
Yep.
And, you know, so I don't know how you police that. You know, if somebody leaves
you
it there, somebody leaves that there. I don't know that you can charge them an extra amount of money if they didn't stand it upright, you know. My concern is the few times that I've seen people zipping along on the sidewalks on them, that does mm-hmm. get awfully dangerous. And while I wouldn't be personally a big fan of riding one of those things out in the middle of a downtown Minneapolis street, watching people run red lights and all the crazy stuff that happens down here, I personally wouldn't do it. I'd rather the scooters were out there than on the sidewalks.
Okay,
and
that's
I mean, honestly,
fair.
And
that's fair.
I put them in the bike lanes that you restricted.
And that's
to
where
the
they're supposed
lanes.
To
that's,
go.
That's where I mean, just stay in the bike lanes. The bikers will be fine.
Yeah, the bikers are not happy about that.
Well, that's their problem.
The bikers are rarely happy.
We're
about
not going to have
anything.
A scooter lane. We're definitely not.
But to me, George, it seems a little like ready, fire, aim.
They came on fast and hard. They came on fast.
What is that? Is that a chainsaw?
Does it sound like a scooter, you guys?
That's not a scooter.
I
They're electric. They make no noise.
I did my best to find a scooter
what
sound.
What is
that? A lawnmower.
Yeah, a bad lawnmower.
Yeah.
A dying
a Vespa.
Lawnmower.
I think it's like an electric. Aren't Vespas electric or those are not gas?
I think they run on gas.
They run on gas.
Yeah, I think they run on gas.
I think it's a Vespa. It's a scooter sound now, by the way, so every time you hear it on the show, you'll think scooter.
So can we talk the socioeconomics of scooters? I think having options, lots of options, is a great idea.
Right.
Right? Now we have light rail.
Mm-hmm.
We have bus.
Mm-hmm.
You can still drive in, although that's becoming increasingly painful.
You can carpool, and if somebody parks all the way
yep.
somewhere else, and you know, you don't have to bob and weave through downtown for them to drop you off anymore.
So I see the upside, no carbon emissions,
mm-hmm.
Relatively affordable.
That's right.
The city is mandating that some of the lower income neighborhoods, mm-hmm. there have to be scooters. So access to everybody,
mm-hmm.
which sounds fair, it sounds right. But I'm thinking some of the practical things. If you want to just go for a joyride and tool around the city, maybe go to lunch, visit a friend on the other side of town. But if you're trying to work and you have a backpack or a briefcase, or you can't get a family of five on a scooter either,
see,
right?
You definitely can't. But I'm sensing another business opportunity here. Scooter gear. You need gear. You need like that cool messenger bag that goes across your body that the bike messengers wear. You need to have some sort of device where you can throw in your briefcase, maybe your shoes, maybe a helmet, because, you know, you might want to start wearing a helmet. You throw on a helmet. I'm seeing a whole line of products surrounding these scooters.
Or you could just invest in a really, really big scooter. They're called Harleys, right?
That's not good for the environment, Mr. Environment Guy.
It's better than a car.
Come on, these are no carbon emissions. I like them. I think they're great. Will they change the way you commute? Speaking of commuting, hands-free next. But will they change the way you commute? 651-989-9226. Are you loving the scooters? Are you hating them? Is it changing your life at all? Call us now and tell us. You've been hands-free in your car. Let's move on to hands-free. You've been hands-free forever, right?
I like to use my hands, but... Not using a phone. Yeah, I'm hands-free.
You're hands-free.
But there are enough distractions in my car as it is.
There are.
Just messing with the radio station and navigation and...
I can't imagine dialing a phone on top of that.
Sometimes I look up and I'm driving.
There you go.
Oh, I should keep my eye on the windshield. But I think it's a good idea. August 1st, that's the big date. You better be ready. Do you have a plan? Are you going to invest in the technology? What are you going to do so that you don't get pulled over if you're on your phone after August 1st?
Because you need stuff. You need stuff. I drive a fairly new car within the last few years, and it has something called CarPlay, which means I plug my phone.
It's the Apple one,
it's
right?
It's great.
Yeah.
I plug my phone right into, you know, the dashboard, and all of my stuff, you know, my maps and all of that stuff comes right up on the screen there. So I don't have, like, an extra GPS or anything in the car. Everything just runs through my phone, and it's super convenient because it's all the stuff I know. But Dan Cook drives a car that's... 15 years old, 16 years old?
16 years old. It's 2003. Yeah.
Right. So no CarPlay, Dan Cook.
No.
So no GPS, Dan Cook. So no, like, bells and whistles. No,
not in the vehicle itself. I do carry around bells and whistles on my cell phone.
Right. But you need now a place to adapt your cell phone to your car.
Well, there's two things. I need some place to mount it, right? And so I've got one of the vent deals that sticks into the vent over there so that it sits in there.
Perfect.
Out of the way. And then I have another connector that I plug into the cigarette lighter. Mm-hmm. That Bluetooths to the phone and then broadcasts at an FM frequency, so then I can tune my car stereo to that FM frequency, and it just broadcasts right through my car speakers.
And then can you talk to your Google Assistant through that, and they can make phone calls for you so you never have to touch the phone?
I never have to touch it, nope.
How much did all of that equipment cost you?
Total, maybe $30, $35.
This is totally doable.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's no excuse not to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
We can drive a 2003 car and still do this.
Yes,
100%. We can all make this happen.
Yep.
Another good option for people is just a single Bluetooth earpiece. You can only have one.
Sure.
One ear. If they're in both ears, that's a violation.
Right. You might look like my dad with the Bluetooth earpiece, but if you don't mind that, that's okay.
I like the cigarette butts, the ones that look like cigarette butts sticking out of people's ears.
I said, whatever happened to speakerphone? Why are we not just hitting speakerphone? Just be on the speakerphone.
You could, but then you're shouting and you get the background noise and...
All right.
There's a lot of shouting.
Okay.
There's enough shouting. We don't need to shout in our vehicles.
And all the phones have an assistant. You know, an iPhone has Siri, your Google Assistant. Do you call her Alexa on your Google Assistant?
No.
How do you tell it to dial? What do you say?
It's Hey Google or
Hey Google. Okay,
okay. Okay Google.
And
see, my phone just woke up.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Now it's calling people. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so you need your Dan's phone in the background.
It's talking to me now.
Dan, what do you need, Dan? Who shall we call? Where should we go? Would you like me to search the internet for you?
Okay, Google, call Jordana Green.
My sound is off because we're in the studio and I get yelled at when my sound's not
off. No, it says I have to unlock my phone in order to do that, sorry.
But here's the thing that's vaguely confusing. I had to read this a couple of times before it sank in. One-touch functions will still be allowed if your phone is accessed without holding it, typing, or scrolling. That means you need something to hold your phone, some sort of a holder, and you can tap, but you can't type.
Right.
So if you need to select something.
Or I guess turn off the phone, maybe, you know, end a phone call, you can tap. Can you tap a location to find your maps?
Yes, I believe
so.
But but I don't think you can be holding it in your hand.
Correct.
If it's on some sort of a mount. I have a little beanbag mount that mounts on my dashboard.
What's that? What's a beanbag mount?
I've tried the in-dash ones. They always fall off.
So it's like a beanbag? It's like a little cushion for your phone?
It's like a little cushion.
That's
and so
cute.
It molds to the dashboard. I picked it up. It was like $20 on Amazon. And then you just put your phone on top of it.
A little pillow.
And what's great is wherever I travel, I just take this little stupid beanbag thing for rental cars, and it works in any vehicle. And that's my navigation. I just use Google Maps, and it gets me everywhere I need to get to.
And the little cushion doesn't go sliding around?
No, it does not. It does not. I've tried the suction ones that attach to the windshield. Invariably, they always fall off, at least for me. And the ones that go in the vent, I don't know. I've had mixed luck. But this stupid little beanbag mount I've had for 5-6 years, and it's been great.
How cute.
It's not. I didn't get it to be cute. I got it to be fun. It's functional. It works.
But you could, like, bedazzle it, too. It could be a nice. Whole line of accessories. Scooter accessories, hands-free accessories.
What color is the sky in your world?
We're gonna start branding
Dina?
It's bedazzled.
Bedazzled.
That's just what I need. Yeah.
So lots of new ways to commute, to get around. If it's changing your world, let us know. It might not be. You stole my show sheet. Oh, no, it's over here.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you that coming up next, so much is happening in the news that we want to get to other than just commuting. Joe Biden, vaccines, all sorts of stuff. Next. And then there were, is it going to be 22 or 23? Former Vice President Joe Biden says he will launch his long-awaited presidential campaign on Thursday.
Wow. Okay.
On Thursday. Well, he didn't say it. People familiar with the source.
Sources say.
Said it. That's
sources.
Right. He will announce his intentions, allegedly, in a video. And hold a fundraiser Thursday evening in Philadelphia. His first formal campaign event is scheduled for Monday in Pittsburgh. The people who were granted anonymity to speak frankly about Biden's plans. But we all kind of know. So it's no secret.
Yeah.
We got you.
Is there anybody who is not running for president? It might be easier just to start with those people.
You, me, and Dan. That's it. Oy. For now.
Are you counting on Social Security? Apparently. You're still a youngin'.
I know, but I heard
you
the
still
bad news.
You got a few good years left.
But yes, I want my Social Security. I've been paying in. I've been paying those taxes since the.
That's true.
First...
That is money that we've paid in. It's not like the government is granting us money.
Right.
It's our money.
I paid it in.
Yeah.
I let you
You'd
have
like it
for
back?
All these years.
So you loan the government
with
money.
Interest.
Yeah.
I want it back
at some point. Please. Some flashing red lights about the future of Social Security, Jor. An annual government report released yesterday says Social Security's trust funds will be tapped out by 2035.
Wow. That's scary.
Higher math. I'm going to do the math for you. That's 16 years. 2035 sounds like science fiction future. 16 years.
It's not that far off.
That doesn't mean retirees will no longer get checks. But it does mean Social Security will only have enough funds to pay people 3/4 of their benefits when they retire.
Man.
Again, 2035.
We're getting screwed.
The trustees of Social Security urge lawmakers to come up with a fix for this looming problem. So far, and this is what I find incredible, Congress has been hesitant to address the issue because it would likely involve cutting benefits, raising payroll taxes, or both. Some people say anytime you mess with Social Security, that's the third rail of politics. No politician in their right mind wants to touch that electrified rail because odds are they're going to get shocked and get booted out of office. But
and they're all ancient, so they're all probably already getting their Social Security.
Oh, they get all kinds of great perks.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Congress, the perks?
They've been collecting Social Security for 10 years already.
They don't need Social Security, but a lot of Americans do. They're the ones who are going to get hosed.
Yeah, like you and me, buddy. This crazy story, the Jussie Smollett case, just keeps getting crazier. Now, those two brothers who allegedly attacked him, they claimed they were paid to stage that attack. They have filed a lawsuit against Jussie Smollett's legal team. So not even against Jussie Smollett, against his legal team. Mark Garagos is their celebrity attorney. Well, the brothers, they weren't in court today, but they say the legal team defamed them. They need to have their reputations restored. A statement that was read from them said, "We've sat back and watched lie after lie being fabricated about us in the media, only so one big lie can continue to have life. These lies are destroying our character and our reputation." They claim they lost money because the brothers were super into fitness and they were touting a line of health and fitness products. And now they're saying that is defunct. So they have lost money and possibly, you know, future business opportunities.
But didn't they originally go along with a scam?
That's allegedly that's
I mean, didn't they pretty much cop to that?
But now there is no, I'm using my air quotes, there is no scam because Jesse maintains he was truly attacked. I guess just not by these guys. So if he was truly attacked and not by them, they must have been defamed along the way. See what lying does? You make one lie and you stick with it. Then it screws other people. Then they have to make up other lies. It's a tangled web, my friend.
Hey.
It's a mess.
Try to keep up.
It's a mess. All right.
Well, when we come back, do you like to drink? Do you like to have a few glasses of wine or maybe some of that, amazing beer options out there? What was that?
What is?
I had some fun with sound effects today.
What? You find the weirdest sound effects.
We should not leave Jordana in charge of the sound effects.
I'm not entirely sure that's not an FCC violation.
Hard
yeah, I don't
find.
Know what that is.
Swallowing and drinking.
It sounds kind of nasty.
Oh, you're going to be hearing more of it.
Listen, we found some tips, things that you can do to lower the risk of a hangover. And yes, we are just as skeptical as you are, our dear drinking companions, listening at home or in your cars. But apparently there are some things you can do scientifically. It's science, Jordana. So it must be true. We'll be back with that. Next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What did you just say?
I said I'm a drinker. My husband makes vodka. So let's keep in mind, there's usually a drink around my house. But I'll go home and I'll have a glass of wine with dinner. Absolutely.
Do you have a drink every day?
Probably. Because I'll pour a glass of wine while I'm making dinner and when I'm having dinner, yeah.
Do you think you have a drinking problem?
I do not think I have a drinking problem, but maybe that's part of my problem.
The problem is that you don't drink enough,
I mean, it's not
right?
A bottle of wine. It's a glass of wine.
Okay. One glass a day. Now, is that good for
you?
Yeah,
I'm not
healthy?
A beer drinker.
But with all the craft beers, it has never been a better time to be a beer drinker.
I'm just not really a beer drinker.
Oh, man. Walt, my oldest son, turned me on to all the craft beers. Mm-hmm. Like, Dad, you're drinking sludge.
Because I don't like IPAs. I like a Blue Moon. I like a wheat beer. But, you know, drink one and you're really full and bloated.
But here's the deal. I don't drink a lot. I might have a glass of wine with dinner two or three nights a week with Lori.
Sure,
maybe a beer on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But, I don't need the calories. Mm-hmm. B, I have an addictive personality. I don't want to get on that treadmill. I'm afraid if I find something I like too much, you start to make excuses.
It's
well,
good if, you know
one made, if one made me feel good, I got a little buzz going. Two will make me feel better. Mm-hmm. Three, even better. That, and I always get dehydrated, and I never get good quality sleep after I have a couple of drinks. I'm always tossing and turning. I don't get the REM sleep that I need. And the next day, I feel drained.
Yeah,
I don't feel productive. And like everybody else listening, you know, doing multiple things, I can't afford not to be productive. Mm-hmm. So I don't like the feeling the next day, even if it's just a mild hangover.
Sure, I get it.
What about you?
I mean, I don't feel hungover during the week. If I drink too much on the weekend, you know, maybe I'll feel a little dehydrated. But yeah, but I don't like it. It's never fun. And God knows, I always tell my husband, you know, we can drink like we used to when we were kids. We just can't recover like we used to. Your body just does not bounce the way it used to. So I could use some help.
You discover that over time.
Facebook has been advertising to me these things like Thrive or they. I don't know if that's the brand. I don't know. They don't advertise here on the show, so I won't mention it. But there are these like hangover aids.
Oh, we're going to talk about
that. Okay.
There's stuff. Yeah, you can easily get on Amazon. Dan Cook, not to put you on the spot. You don't drink.
No, I don't. I don't, and I can count on one hand the number of times that alcohol's ever touched my lips, and they were all accidents.
Wow. Not a drinker.
And you don't feel like you're missing anything.
Well, I mean, you miss, like in college especially, I missed out on some social experiences because I just, you know, I didn't have any problem being around alcohol. I still don't. I mean, I could go out to bars, but if you're not sitting there with a drink in your hand, you look kind of out of place and you get a lot of sideways glances, right? So, I mean, it is what it is.
And why have you made that decision?
There's a history of alcoholism in my family. And like, you know, not to get too downer on the bit, but one of my very earliest memories is being called into my parents' bedroom because my mom's dad had died due to alcoholism related complications. And so she's a wreck. And my dad's telling my brother and I that we have to go stay with his mom and dad for a few days because they've got to go deal with, you know, burying my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And when you're real little like that, it, you know, something big's going on, but you don't know what that means or what any of that is related to. But as you grow up and you start to learn, that memory now gets connected to this idea that there is this alcohol. And you see it in other members of the family, that there's this strain of alcoholism. And you learn about genetic links. And I know I have an obsessive personality to the point where if I got drunk and I liked it, I'm probably going to end up in rehab within a year. So,
well, good for you for stay away from it. For being self-aware and being able to.
That's all it is. I mean, people, the unfortunate part about it is that people take it as a judgment, right? That it, you know, I don't drink, so I must be judging them for drinking.
Oh, please.
And that creates some social awkwardness at times. It's 100% not the case. I don't have any problem with anybody else drinking.
I mean, I'm drinking right now, and Dan doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
The show can only be better if Jordan is drunk, let's be honest.
I read my Bible. Jesus drank wine.
Yeah.
Now, it was watered-down wine. I don't think it was the wine that we have today. Well, and the glasses were much smaller.
They were, and the other problem was that, you know, most of the water would give you all kinds of illnesses if it wasn't fermented.
The water was the problem.
The water was the issue. Yeah. They drank a lot of wine because if you drank the water, you were going to get really, really sick.
True. All right. So anyway, there was an article that made me do a double take in Real Simple, which is my kind of publication.
I love Real Simple. Real Simple. Don't judge it. Don't you judge Real Simple.
They use small words. Here's how to prevent a hangover. Before you drink, before you're going out, even for a drink or two, eat fatty foods.
Ooh, I like that solution. Yeah.
Which delay the body's absorption of alcohol. They suggested a dip like avocado guacamole.
I was thinking more like fries.
That could work, too. High-fiber foods are good. And again, vegetables. High-fiber foods like veggies break down alcohol and absorb it, keeping it from reaching the bloodstream as quickly. You can take vitamin C.
Really?
Vitamin C guards against hangover symptoms. And there's something you can get, speaking of medications on Amazon, $25, hangover prevention formula.
That must be what they must be marketing to me. They must know I'm a drinker on Instagram and Facebook.
Two hours before you plan to start drinking on an empty stomach, down one capsule of this mixture of B vitamins and prickly pear extract.
Hmm.
And again, you can find this over-the-counter at drugstores. Hangover prevention formula. Be fun to talk to the entrepreneur and find the creation story for that.
It says one tester drank much more heavily and gave this prevention formula high marks the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know.
While you drink, avoid congeners.
What is that? What's a congener?
Right.
Congener?
No idea.
Congeners. The compounds that give liquor its flavor and color.
Oh, yeah. I have heard that, like scotch or whiskey, like if it's a brown alcohol or a red alcohol, something like that. Even red wine, that kind of makes it worse.
The tannins. Yeah.
Oh, I find white wine. I usually drink red. So if I ever drink white wine, I sometimes get a headache.
Really? The Chardonnays and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's some of the reds.
Really?
The crappy reds. If I drink good wine, which doesn't happen very often, I don't get a headache.
It's expensive.
The $2 Chuck. But again, if you go for the light-colored, highly filtered alcohol, usually the more expensive booze, the more filtered it is. You will have less of a hangover
on average. That, like vodka that's filtered a lot of times, that's distilled a lot of times. That I would agree with that because I know that from experience.
You know that. Mm-hmm. You've lived that. Stick to one kind of drink. And that's common sense, right? You learn that when you're old enough to grip the
bottle.
Right,
what is it? Beer before liquor, never been sicker? Something like liquor before beer, have no fear. I have no idea. Something like that.
Avoid carbonation. And alternate with water. If you have a glass of beer, then have a glass of water to cut down on the risk of dehydration, which, again, makes you feel even worse the next day. And then after you drink the next day or maybe later that night, again, keep drinking water. Think of it as a cleansing rinse cycle. Fruit juices work well. Pedialyte.
Yes, I have heard that.
Replenishes sugars and fluid balancing
stuff you give your kid when they have diarrhea.
Yeah.
It's Pedialyte.
We're vomiting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They drink it, by the way. It doesn't go in the other way.
Eggs are good. Really?
Just in case you were using the Pedialyte. And
did anybody need that clarification at all? Anyone?
God help me.
What was the diarrhea reference? I wanted to get back there. Oh, you missed one, Paul. It says, order onion soup. Onions are high in sugar, which speeds the body's metabolism and burns alcohol. Isn't that interesting? And the cheese is dairy, which slows alcohol's entry into the bloodstream. See, what I'm hearing is if you eat this stuff, you eat all the fiber, you eat all the fat, you don't really feel the effects of the alcohol. Isn't that kind of why we're drinking it? A little bit.
Everything in moderation.
I mean, it tastes good, but the buzz is kind of nice, too.
Except for moderation. But
onion soup, that's a good one. I never heard that before.
But that feeling you get the next day, and some people who have drinking problems have come up to me and said, you know what? That's part of the problem. I don't get a hangover.
I can drink three, four, seven, eight drinks,
mm-hmm. and the next day I'm fine. So there is no payback.
That must be nice for them.
Well, not really.
It's 3:48. Wicks and Jewelers time. Thank you. I'm glad we did that public service.
It was a public mm-hmm. service, yeah.
You're searching for a truly exceptional diamond? You don't want to miss the diamond event at Wicks and Jewelers, May 3rd and 4th. You going to go home and get swole?
Maybe tomorrow night.
It's a new word in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Swole means hit the gym and bulk up.
Yeah.
Swole.
God, it's
hard. I never heard that word.
It's hard keeping up.
It is.
And Snowflake. We know Snowflake.
Well, Snowflake, you know, so there are 640 new words added to the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
And this has sold more copies, almost as many copies as the Bible. 50 million copies since 1898. I had no idea.
Words like bug-out bag, grab-a-go cup, omnicide. We'll share what they mean in a minute. But then there's a whole other new additions that are mostly words or phrases that are actual words already, but they have new meanings. So Paul was saying, like, for example, snowflake. Snowflake is a snowflake, or now it's a disparaging meaning of someone who is overly sensitive.
Right.
We hear that a lot.
A buzzy new movie, creating a buzz, yeah.
Oh, buzzy
I've heard
new
that
movie.
For some time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know that EGOT,
yep.
EGOT, an entertainer who has won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very exclusive group. Audrey Hepburn, Marvin Hamlisch, Mel Brooks, and Whoopi Goldberg are among that elite group.
Here's an uplifting one, omnicide. You heard that one?
Yeah, it's not good.
The destruction of all life. Now, it dates back to the Cold War, was used as a reference for nuclear annihilation.
Nuclear Armageddon, yeah.
But now it's about man-made disasters like climate change. So they're using the word omnicide because, you know, that's fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
we promise
we won't go through all 640, but we will sprinkle them throughout the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about election fraud and Steve Simon's guest. Be back after the news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.